Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, December the 2nd, 2013. Hope you had a great four-day Thanksgiving weekend, and now we prepare for Christmas, with Christmas Eve now just 3 short weeks away from tomorrow. Amazing. Buckmaster Show live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Will stream the show and do so at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com, and the podcasts always available for you on my website, as well as the Tucson Citizen and TucsonSentinel.com. We'll begin with the Monday political face-off. Today, our commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly conversation with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us at 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show and follow us on Facebook. We're at, very simple, Bill Buckmaster. That will get you to the Facebook page. Every Monday, we do kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is the current Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Paul Eckerstrom is former state and local chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, I hope you both had a great Thanksgiving.
Had a great Thanksgiving. The cat game on Friday night was a treat. And yeah. Unfortunately, I only made it through the first half of the football game. I watched the rest of the National Dog Show for the second half.
Oh, the Westminster Dog Show. Yeah, that ball game Saturday night. Paul, the cats just didn't come to play. I mean,
well, you know, and but they still beating Oregon. It's been a successful season. And I hope they go to a nice bowl and do well. And keep rebuilding. But that basketball team is going to be special this year. That game on Friday was something. And the other thing is, this weekend was great because the weather was perfect and I didn't eat too much.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so normally you ate enough on Thanksgiving to last you until today, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Over the four-day break. This situation, Paul Eckerstrom, with Child Protective Services is really, really, is really appalling, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and this has been a problem for quite a few years, and I think it's just coming to a head because it's gotten worse. I mean, I've been in law enforcement and the criminal justice system all my life as either a prosecutor or a criminal defense attorney, and CPS interfaces with that quite a bit on child abuse cases. And one of the things I know is for years we've underfunded Child Protective Services. We get people in there who really want to do a good job, but they get too heavy caseloads, and these caseloads aren't easy to do psychologically for somebody. They're underpaid, and so what happens is people will do it for a few years and then they leave once they're trained and
the burnout factor.
Oh, it's huge. And so you need to pay them well to keep them, because once they're trained, you want to keep them for a while to do a good job, and then reduce their caseload so they can actually focus on the kids. Now, you know, this costs money, Bill. I mean, it costs money, but the preventing what happens to these children is so important. Making sure children are put in proper foster homes or adopted out to the right people is so important, and making sure that they're safe and grow up in a safe environment. It would save us a lot more money if we spent the money early in children's lives than it does later when they have problems because of what's happened to them during their childhood. And that goes for what we do with our education system. That goes what we do with our mental health system. Mm-hmm. And CPS is an integral part of making sure children are safe. And I've just watched this for years.
And you're saying, as far as your opinion, it's way underfunded.
It's way underfunded. And the problem is this state legislature and this governor, they just don't want to spend the money on kids. And that's a shame, because if there is a function of government there isn't any more important a function of government than keeping kids safe, I think.
What do you think of what he just said, Bruce Ash?
Well, this is a particularly difficult topic, especially at this time of year, but at any time to be discussing this. And it's the reason that a Republican legislature passed a bill to appoint an oversight committee, a bipartisan oversight committee, with leaders in the Arizona legislature to look at the Department of Economic Security and Child Protective Services. It's the reason that a task force from the DPS has been assigned to investigate. They're going to make their findings available to the legislature, to this committee, very shortly. I understand the governor made a statement in the 11:30 hour. I know that it was going to be on this topic. I know how concerned she is with this. But we really need to look at the findings of the DPS. This is something that when Eddie Farnsworth sponsored this bill, he and his fellow, both Republicans and Democrats, knew that there had been problems brewing at CPS for some period of time. We remember just a couple of years ago when Jonathan Payton served in the legislature, you know, issues that occurred at that mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And honestly,
and he was good at pointing those out. I mean, the
yeah. And honestly, this is not just a Republican underfunding thing. There was a $33 million lump sum reduction in 2008 that occurred with a Democrat budget under a Democrat governor. I'm happy to say, and I'm sure Paul would agree, the Democrat budget, which was essentially what ended up passing this past spring, restored approximately $27.5 million of that $33 million. And there's another $40 million that's coming up in the next budget as well to continue that funding. But we really need to get to the bottom of the endemic problems. You spoke to the problem with attrition. This is a huge factor. It's 30% a year attrition factor. And probably, all of us here in this little booth, probably know families who have fostered children, and we know the really good work that does go on and the thousands and thousands of lives that are positively changed by CPS in a very, very good way. But we have to get to the bottom of this. And I'm confident that this bipartisan panel, along with the DPS and the state auditors involved in this as well, or will be eventually probably, we need to get to the bottom of this, and we need to get to the bottom of it soon.
I hope they don't scapegoat individuals or the administration of CPS. Obviously, things could change in those regards. But bottom line is this. To get good results in this very difficult field, you need well-trained people that stick with it, and you need them to have a reasonable caseload where they can focus on the kids that they do have on their caseload to make sure that they're being taken care of properly and make sure that they're safe. It is not an easy job, and people who think we can just give short shrift to it in terms of the funding. We're restoring some of the funding we lost over the recession. I understand that. But it's been underfunded for 30 years or longer. I mean, this is not a problem.
So you're saying it takes a lot more money than what's being restored.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a problem ever since I was had gotten in my profession in terms of being a lawyer in the criminal justice system, just watching it from afar, and I don't get involved in them except for when there's a child abuse case or something like that. But it is a problem that is very long-standing, and I do believe, I mean, the plain fact is, it's like in education, you want good trained teachers, and you want them to have smaller class sizes. The same thing goes with CPS. They need lower caseloads, and they need to be well-trained, and they need to be paid well enough where they stick with it rather than the attrition rates that we have. That is not an easy job because you're dealing with difficult situations there that wear on you. Unless
hard to leave that kind of work at the office.
Exactly. And so unless you're well compensated, you're gonna move on after 5 years most likely. And I think that needs to be an integral part of any solution, is the funding issue.
Well, I agree with Paul. I hope that there's not a scapegoat that's found, but obviously there is an accountability factor. These are state officials who are responsible to the taxpayers and not just to them, but also to the children and the families that are affected by this lack of follow-through that obviously is occurring. I'm glad in this case that The legislature, in a broad bipartisan effort, did decide to form this oversight committee. And interesting, in my sort of informal and education, getting up to speed on this topic, I found out something kind of interesting, is that unlike the U.S. Congress, there really are no oversight committees that exist at the Arizona State Legislature. Mm-hmm. And, I'm don't misunderstand me. I'm not for increasing the size and the scope of what the legislature does. I think they already do enough harm, Republicans or Democrats. The best day is when the legislature is not in session.
Yeah.
But clearly, it would be a good thing to not just be investigating these expenses once we get to a sunset provision, but on an ongoing basis, so that there's some continuity and you're not starting from scratch, from crisis to crisis to crisis.
Well, and I don't disagree with you, Bruce, on that. I think the legislature needs to stay apprised of what's happening with the funding of things this important to deal with children and especially children who get abused or need to be moved into a foster care.
All right, gentlemen, we will take a break. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Eckerstrom is here, and Bruce Ash. We'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
You had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday after the Thanksgiving weekend. It is our Monday political face-off. Paul Eckerstrom is with us and Bruce Ash. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. 790-2040. Producer Rosemary Brandt, we call her the Ace, will be glad to take your calls. Rose had kind of a tough Thanksgiving. She was not feeling all that great, so... You know, who wants to be sick over Thanksgiving? But she is making a miraculous recovery by the moment during the Buckmaster Show. Listen, Bruce and Paul, how about these very poor ratings for the president? Will that trickle down translate to helping Republican candidates here in Arizona and locally, Bruce Ash?
I thought it was interesting, Bill. I was on Arizona Illustrated a couple weeks ago, and our friend Don Jorgensen was touting the fact that Democrats planned on running on the virtues and the benefits of Obamacare in the 2014 election. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz said the same thing. Nancy Pelosi said the same thing. They're all kind of following their own talking points. As of this morning, I think it's very interesting that both the DCCC as well as the Democrat Senatorial Committee have taken off all references to running on Obamacare, and now suddenly the newest and the most important issue on the agenda for Democrats is immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform. Democrats are running away from the president on health care. The president is in a heck of a tussle on this. His trust numbers have gone way, way down. His competency numbers have gone way, way down. And frankly, I think that you can even attribute some of the things, the initiatives that he's been involved in on foreign policy to distract and to go in another direction so that we take away from all the problems that exist with Obamacare. And even though the healthcare side is back up, it's just okay, even according to Democrats, that wouldn't be good for Amazon. It wouldn't be good for, you know, any of the for-profit sites that do this and literally host millions of people a day. The president and his people are saying, well, you know, hey, don't go too hard, too fast, because we don't know how. That's not a real reassuring vote of confidence for the website, but the website's not the real problem. It's Obamacare itself.
What do you think, Paul?
You know, presidents always go through this in their second terms. They'll drop, and on this particular issue, I find it kind of funny that John Boehner tried to make an issue out of it by trying to sign up on Obamacare, and he thought it would fail, and he ended up being successful at on the site. And
he got through that.
Yeah, he got through, and he was able to sign up, and everything was fine. You know, any big rollout, whether it's in private industry or in government, dealing with a process like this, is going to have its problems and bugs. And this one has had more problems than it should have. I'm not saying it hasn't. But it, ultimately, how it plays politically, we'll see. I mean, in 6 months from now, things going better, people getting used to it, the changes, they see changes that are positive. I don't think it's going to be a big issue in the next election cycle.
I thought all elections were supposed to be local. Well, all issues.
Rule of thumb is it's supposed to be more local than not. Mm-hmm.
Is that changing?
It may be changing, and I don't know that for sure. I have a feeling in this next election, it'll follow similar tracks from history, where second term presidents in their midterm elections will lose congressional seats. How many? I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be overwhelmingly bad for the Democrats. I think we'll probably be able to hold the Senate, but that doesn't mean it doesn't get nationalized more than it has in the past. I think the 24-hour cable network news cycle, we've had more nationalized elections in the past 10, 15 years than I've ever seen prior to that, specifically where it's affecting local races. And that specifically, you can look at the 2006 election, which was a Democratic tsunami, and the 2010 election, which was a Republican tsunami. That's kind of unusual in political history. And we'll see about this one. I have a feeling that it's going to be more, kind of go back to more traditional local election type of things, where incumbent second term president will lose some seats in Congress, but not overwhelmingly. And it won't be that nationalized, especially if the Obamacare, the bugs are starting to get kinked, worked out in 6 months or so, and people start seeing the benefits than the negatives. Anytime there's change like this, people are nervous. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the voting public may be nervous, and who knows how this is all going to play out politically. But in the long run, this is going to be a benefit, I think, to Democrats generally, once Obamacare gets totally implemented and people understand the benefits of it.
The problem is not the website. The problem is the promise and the premise that the President of the United States made when he said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. Period. There was no qualifications. This is local, Paul and Bill, to the extent that there are already 5 million people who have lost their health care coverage. There will be millions more every single month as new notices come out. That's what happens. Everybody, you're on these yearly cycles, and Everybody cycles at different times. What people are finding is when they do sign up, if they do end up getting to the point where they're ready to look at a coverage, they're finding that their deductibles and their co-pays are way, 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 way up. They're essentially self-insuring. Their premiums are up. And what's happening is they're not getting the same coverage that they were getting before this occurred. And what has occurred is we're getting all of these very, very sick people and very, very poor people who are on government subsidies and on Medicaid in many cases. They're going to crater our budget. It's going to create an incredible problem. We don't even have enough doctors. We're 100,000 doctors down now. We're probably looking at, in the next 5 to 10 years, another 150,000 to 200,000 doctors short. Look, the reason the Democrats are running away from the president, there are 9 Democrat senators who are petitioning the president. The president is recommending his own administrative relief. He won't even listen to anything his own Democrat members in the Senate want to do and Democrat members in the House want to do. The president owns this, and it's going to cost Democrats in the next election. There's no question about that, because every month that goes by, the local issue of this is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Well, I think that those are exaggerations. One, I think a lot of people that a lot of people are losing their existing insurance was actually worse. Really wasn't insurance at all.
That's what you say. That's the insurance that they wanted to buy,
Bruce,
Paul.
Bruce,
It's a cram down policy.
Would you let me finish? And I understand that the president misspoke about the grandfather clause that was put in. He owned up to that. He came on national TV. He came on national TV and said, "Look, we thought that grandfather clause was was good enough legislatively when it went through the legislative process. It wasn't, and I take responsibility for it.
Yeah, and what does that mean?
I never heard a president do that except for Harry Truman back in 1940s.
You're going to get your butt kicked in the 2014 election.
Would you let me talk, Bruce? For God's sakes.
Well, don't just filibuster all day, Paul.
Wrap it up. We're going to have to wrap it up. All right.
I guess I got filibustered.
All right. Paul, I'll give you a quick 10 seconds.
Anyway, what I'm saying is let's let this process go forward. In a few years, I think Obamacare is going to be a much bigger benefit than it is a negative for people, okay. And I think people will realize that.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you to Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Moe's, family-owned and run since 1985. Check them out this holiday season. They'll take care of all of your holiday framing needs. We'll be right back with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Early numbers indicate that online shopping is up by more than 20% today compared with the same time last year. The figures by IBM Benchmark released at noon Eastern Time. In New Hampshire, a traveling medical technician has been sentenced to 39 years in prison for infecting dozens of patients in four states with hepatitis C through tainted syringes. The town of Newtown, Connecticut, says it will release to the public the 911 recordings from the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. They'll be released on Wednesday. A high school student in Toledo, Ohio, says there were some scary moments when a disruptive 14-year-old flashed a pellet gun at a police officer this morning, leading to a short standoff. No shots were fired. No one was hurt. The Dow down 41 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com, or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35, and of course it's a new month and we welcome Eagle Eye Rare Coins to the Buckmaster Show lineup. We are so proud of all of our sponsors on this program. You can find the complete list on our website, buckmastershow.com. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show one of our contributors, a gentleman we are very proud to have as a contributor. We have about 24 contributors also listed at buckmastershow.com. Our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham was also Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. He served a total of 41 years in the Army, and General Wickham is retired now in Oro Valley, and we are glad to have him on the Buckmaster Show live line. General, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, glad to be on your wonderful program, Bill, and to hear about all your wonderful supporters and sponsors on your program. Yeah, we've all got to be thankful of our blessings over the Thanksgiving holiday, and the biggest blessing is that we belong to America.
Yes, indeed, General. And I know a lot of our listeners have been reading and hearing about this proposal that is really quite troubling, in my opinion, to cut military pay and benefits for our armed services men and women. What do you think?
Well, I've been there, Bill. As Chief of Staff, I had to wrestle with some of the major decisions. When I was Chief of Staff, my annual budget was about $77 billion. So it's big business. And they're struggling now because of the sequester has forced all of the service chiefs to cut programs arbitrarily. The sequester is an irrational way to do it. And as a result, they're faced now with choices. If we're going to try to buy new equipment like the F-35 aircraft, for example, or naval ships, we're going to have to cut somewhere else. And so what's happened over the years is that the cost of people in the military has grown. It used to be historically half of the defense dollar was for personnel. It's gone up more than that now because of the pay raises and cost of medical care and housing and family programs. So that's what they're faced with now. And I think the choice is either we cut the benefits to our troops and their families, or we cut the size of our armed services and make them smaller. My, for what it's worth, my view is we need to cut the size of the armed services and make them smaller, and we can be sure that they do the job well. We've got to keep the pay and allowances to be competitive and to be sure that we get the best young men and women in our military. If we cut pay and allowances, we're going to lose people in terms of recruiting and reenlistment, and we don't want that. So I'm not a supporter of cutting pay and allowances.
Well, General, I think ethically we'd be breaking a contract with these fine men and women who volunteer to serve to protect our country. We would break a contract with these people, and whether it's written or whatever, it's a moral contract that these people have that they will get certain benefits.
Amen, Bill. You put your finger right on it. It's a moral contract, and we would break it, and I think we would suffer the consequences. So I'm hopeful that the Congress will do something about the sequester, but if not, I'm hopeful that the smart people in the Defense Department will not go the route of cutting pay and allowances. However, what we might begin to think about doing, and there's been a lot of thought given to this in recent years, we may need to revise the retirement system in the military to allow what industry does now, and you're well aware of this, where there is some contribution by the employee to their own retirement that is matched by the employer, and the government could do that. When young people leave the military in less than 20 years, they get nothing in the way of retirement. I think that's unfair. I think young people ought to be invested maybe after 5 years and start putting money into retirement, and that would vest them for the future. They could go into the reserves and have something for the future. So I think there may need to be some revision of the retirement system, not cutting it at all and not breaking contract, but something that is much more responsible and more in keeping with the world in which we live.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'd love to hear from what our listeners have to say about what the general has been speaking about. He would love to entertain your questions or comments. There is some good news concerning veterans' issues coming out locally out of Oro Valley and Marana about a veterans' cemetery.
That's right, Bill. The mayor of Oro Valley, Satish Hiramath, who is a good friend, called me the other night and said that he had gotten a call from the governor that reported a federal grant of about $7 million to build a veteran cemetery on donated land in Marana and Oro Valley, a composite piece of land, and construction will begin in July for this cemetery. It's the first one in the region. There's one down in Sierra Vista. This will be a federal cemetery for veterans. None of us look forward to going into a cemetery, but it's an illustration that people do care. The mayor of Oro Valley has been really assiduous in pushing for veterans' benefits and has established a website in Oro Valley that provides opportunities for veterans to get all kinds of information about discounts and commercial stores, about where they can get help and advice on veterans' affairs. So it's an illustration. We got to look out for our veterans.
Yeah, we have to look out for them. And this issue we talked about at the very beginning about perhaps cutting their benefits. When people look at the backlog, when potential recruits look at how long it takes the VA, that is not good. A couple of years to get some of these claims processed.
That's bad. You're exactly right, Bill. And when I applied for a disability years ago, about 7-8 years ago, and I asked the disabled American veteran volunteer at the VA Medical Center here, how long does it take? And he said, too long. He said, they need more people evaluating claims. And the VA has put more on there. Rick Shinseki, who's head of the VA, good friend of mine, former Army Chief of Staff, and they have added a lot of claims evaluators. And that's the way to go, rather than to deny veterans the opportunity to submit claims. So I'm hopeful that they're going to do that. Another thing that the VA is doing now is getting all the veterans who are homeless off the streets. Shinseki has a plan now in force that's going to get all homeless veterans off the streets by 2015. Wonderful to do that.
All right. General John Wickham will stay with us for another segment. When we come back with the general, we will talk and get his opinion on the Iranian agreement, which is very controversial. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Monday after Thanksgiving. And again, 790-2040 if you have a question or comment. We will be right back.
Did you know that Normandy is home to some of the most beautiful and historic beaches on the channel? On June 6, 1944, the invasion of Normandy, D-Day, was the turning point of World War II. This is Ryan Hansen, Vice President of Bon Voyage Travel. My grandfather was one of the brave men who landed at Normandy, and so it is with great pride and reverence that I'm inviting you to join me on a special journey as we follow in these heroic soldiers' footsteps on the shores of Normandy over the 70th anniversary of D-Day, June 6th, 2014. This will be a lively tour with two nights on the Normandy coast, Loire Valley, and Paris, plus one at St. Malo. Traveling days are jam-packed with interesting stops, historic sites, and great photo opportunities. This nine-day premium country roads tour will be filled with history, beauty, charm, great food and wines, and you will forge lifelong friendships and memories. To hear more about this historic tour, join us December 4th for an informative presentation. Call 797-1110 for a trip of a lifetime.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Hey, this is the big weekend coming up for the Tamale Festival in downtown Silver City, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Should be a lot of fun. That is Saturday, December 7th. Lots of great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge. Find the full listing at southwestnewmexico.org. We are always honored to have General John Wickham, former U.S.
Army Chief of Staff. Once a month, the general gives us about a half an hour of his time, and there's so much to talk about. General, we always say it is a dangerous world out there, and certainly the situation with Iran has generated a lot of controversy on this agreement. What do you make of it so far?
Yeah, it is, you're exactly right, Bill. It is a dangerous world. The terrorism is still an issue, and Iran remains a serious problem. However, I think, and I'll go through this very quickly, I think the current deal is a smart move on the part of the administration and those nations that are involved negotiating it with Iran. Why? Look at the alternative. The alternative would be to have let Iran continue without any control or any oversight over what it is doing. And it also, the alternative could involve Israel striking Iran to try to destroy this capability, which would, in my humble opinion, lead to a Middle Eastern war of unprecedented dimensions and involvement of the United States, and perhaps some release of a nuclear fallout into the Middle East from exploding weapons over these facilities. So I think we've got to go ahead with this agreement. Now, I can understand why people are suspicious of Iran. Ahmadinejad, the former president, was a bit of a nutcase, saying awful things about denying the Holocaust. The current regime has reversed all of that. The current regime, Rouhani, the new president, admits the Holocaust. And the supreme leader of Iran is apparently seeking to rejoin the community of nations in a responsible way. Let's give them a chance. And I think this agreement that we got for 6 months, that's all it is an opportunity to let them show their colors. And I'm encouraged by what we're seeing. The agreement allows for unprecedented inspections of all facilities in Iran. No notice inspections. Number two, it requires the shutting down of all of their centrifuges, except for those that for medical purposes, and also of their big nuclear reactor that they're building at Iraq, which had plutonium capability. And also, it also allows for further negotiations in another 6 months to see if we can come up with a final agreement. So I'm very encouraged by this. Now, understandably, the Saudis are against it. Why? In part because it's religion. The Saudis are a Sunni nation. Iran is Shia. And there is animosity, goes back to when Muhammad died, and incredible obtuseness on the part of Islam to have this kind of thing going on centuries later. Israel, understandably, is concerned about its own security. Guess what? Israel has 125 nuclear weapons. Israel has never joined the Non-Proliferation Treaty and refuses to acknowledge they have weapons or to have inspectors. Iran has joined the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, does have inspections, and is open to inspections. Quite a difference. You can understand why there's some animosity and concern in the Middle East for what's going on. But I'm encouraged, and I think responsible people that I've read about this are encouraged by the process. As Reagan told us, we need to be trust but verify. We have to be sure that the Iranians are going to abide.
790-2040, 790-2040 with General John Wickham. Many people very concerned. You brought up the trust issue with Iran. People feel we cannot trust them. And we also are hearing that Saudi Arabia may try to align themselves with Israel. Do you see that happening?
Yes, there's a curious development with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been a good ally of the United States. And yet at the same time, Saudi Arabia, with its Wahhabist religious fundamentalist sect, has been spewing jihad philosophy throughout the Middle East and elsewhere in the world, building madrasas, religious schools that teach medieval history, that teach abuse of women, and that don't teach modernity at all. And guess what? We are fueling that kind of expansion of jihadism with petrodollars that we spend by buying oil. Now that we're becoming more oil independent, and the Saudis realize that, they want to distance themselves a little bit from us and have some influence on the Middle East themselves. And that's one reason they're getting closer to the Israeli position. The Saudis would like to see more dictators in the Middle East. They were angry at us when we allowed Mubarak to be overthrown in Egypt. They were angry with us that we allowed Morsi, the former president of Egypt, to be deposed. They want to see dictators, like they want to keep the monarchy forever. And so I'm not sure that it's in the stability's interests of the Middle East for the behavior of Saudi Arabia to prosper.
Well, I'm sure that Israeli intelligence, General Wickham, is probably closely monitoring whether or not the nuclear program is actually continuing. Wouldn't you probably suspect that?
Yes, I do. Now, here's an interesting development or something we should think about. The whole concept of developing nuclear capability for commercial purposes to produce energy, guess what? The United States encouraged Iran to do that when the Shah led Iran. It began with us encouraging the development of nuclear capability. I think there is some wisdom on the part of Iranian leaders to try to develop nuclear energy capabilities. They see oil running out. They see the need to develop that kind of capability. So do the Saudis. So do other nations that are so dependent, have been for years, on oil and see that resource leaving. So the concept of some nuclear capability with Iran, I think, makes sense. And the Iranians have insisted what they're trying to do is for peaceful purposes. Well, we have to be sure that they're being trustworthy when they say that. And I think we have an opportunity to pursue that if we trust but verify with this new agreement.
You know, another hot spot, we started this segment talking about the dangerous world, is the situation with China, Japan, over this very small island in the south of the Japanese island chain, and this disagreement over that. Does that have the potential to become a powder keg?
Yes, it could, Bill, and you're exactly right. Why that area is of some significance is because of natural gas and oil deep under the surface of the water. And that's the only reason that the Chinese are interested in it, and also the Japanese. So there's some nationalism also involved. The danger is that some trigger-happy pilot in an aircraft flying over there, Chinese military aircraft, could shoot down an airliner mistakenly. And then we get ourselves into a bit of a standoff. So there is a danger here, and we have to move with some caution. But it's all wrapped up with nationalism, and it's wrapped up with access to natural resources that the Chinese feel will be worth enormous amount of money in the future.
And I know the FAA has been monitoring this situation very closely because of commercial airline traffic. Hopefully there will not be an incident over this very dangerous place.
That's right. The FAA has warned all commercial traffickers to give warning when they're going into that no-fly zone, to give warning to China. That's all China is saying. Let us know you're coming, and it's okay. But if somebody strays into it without warning, there will be military aircraft examining the airliner to see what's going on. And that's where the risk comes. But I'm hopeful that smart people and enlightened people are not going to let some trigger-happy person create a crisis.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to wrap it up right here. We will talk with you again after the first of the year, so we want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season, and we very much appreciate this half hour with us.
Thanks, Bill. God bless.
Thank you very much, General John Wickham, our monthly contributor on military and foreign affairs on the Buckmaster Show. We're very proud of our list of contributors. Go to our website, buckmastershow.com, and look at these fine people who give their time to keep us better informed in Tucson. I want to thank Bottled Water, to thank the Culligan people for supplying the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Culligan. We believe, and I certainly do, better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. John is on from 3 to 5 right here in this very studio at AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Then it'll be Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe back on the air after their Thanksgiving break. They will be back alive from 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. I am Bill Buckmaster along with my producer Rosemary Brandt. We wish you a very pleasant afternoon and a very good evening, and we'll be back with you live at 12:04 tomorrow right here on KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.